Well, hi, I'm Kara Clift, and I've never run for office before, but I've been active in the Alaska Libertarian Party for the last several years. I've been on the executive board, and every governor's election, we have to choose someone to run for governor. It's one of the rules for the state of Alaska that we have to have so much percentage in the general election to keep our ballot access. Or either that, or we have to register voters. So somebody had to run, and I looked at the people that were running for governor, and I looked at myself, and I said, I think it's time we had a woman in the race, and I think I can provide a real difference to the two-party system that we've been electing every year.
So why the Libertarian Party? What about that is attractive to you?
Well, you know, the individual is the smallest minority. And that's what we're all about in the Libertarian Party. We're for minimum government. We're for personal responsibility, taking care of yourself, which is the Alaskan way. Everybody here is a free spirit. Everybody here in Alaska wants to be a pioneer in some way or another. That's what brought people to this state. So we are really we're really about the same thing that most Alaskans are about, which is the individual spirit, the minimum government, taking care of yourself, and being an independent, self-sustaining person.
Okay, great. Have you ever been to Ketchikan before?
I've never been to Ketchikan, and it's beautiful. I'm so lucky to get here when the sun is shining. I hadn't even been to the Southeast in probably 29 years. I went to Juneau one time for a trip. I was an educator, and I was came down to Juneau to observe in the classrooms down here because they were using a program that we'd adopted in Aniak. I lived out in Bush, Alaska for like 16 years in a small town called Aniak, which was the biggest town around. So it was the hub for the community. We had the jet port, and we had the school district offices and everything in Aniak. But, you know, But it gave me a real experience about working with a small town and living in a small town and the things you don't have. The only way you can get to Aniak is by air or by coming up the river from Bethel. And it limits what you can do when you live in a town like that. You have to live off the land. You have to be self-sustaining. Fishing was really important there. Hunting was really important there. And I think I have a real feel for what people really come to Alaska for and what the native people really want to keep going.
What is your understanding about issues facing this part of the state? It is a huge state, and there's different issues for each region.
Your issues are very unique in this part of the state, totally different from in the interior. With the interior or South Central, where I'm living now, we're nowhere. We don't really worry about issues like the ocean or fishing or keeping the water pristine. But I've been educating myself about issues here in the Southeast. Transportation is a huge issue here. When I read about the Angoon, the lack of an airport in Angoon, for instance, and I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, they have to go 5 hours by ferry just to get somewhere where there's a major city, major hospital, not even a major city, you know, Sitka. So that's a huge problem, you know, where you don't even have a way to get out of the city except for by ferry, and it takes 5 hours to get somewhere. That's not acceptable as a safety issue. And I realize the people of Angoon are native, and they have lived there for centuries. So they didn't choose to live there, but they do deserve the same health and safety as everyone else in the state. And I've been reading about the roads, and should we build the roads? And this is kind of a libertarian joke, you know, because it's our inside joke, because people always look at libertarians, and we're talking about limited government, and the question always comes, well, who will build the roads? Well, I think here in the Southeast, it's who will maintain the ferries, because I think the ferries are the one form of transportation that you can really count on.
The polls show the race is between Governor Parnell and Bill Walker. So do you believe you have a chance to turn that around, or are you more focused on promoting the libertarian message?
As I always say, there's many, many ways to win. And the way I'm winning this race, I feel like I've already won the race. I did very well in the primary, running against Malott, actually. And I feel like people in the primary, they saw my name there, and they said, oh, a libertarian woman, and they voted for me. And now they're looking again, and they're going, but she was the only one we could vote for. Because now, you know, the other two people that I was running against in the primary, so-called running against, because I won the primary because we only had me, are not in the race anymore, or have moved into a different position. Like Malott is running for lieutenant governor now. There's one way that I'm offering people a choice. You don't have to vote Republican or Unity, whatever that ticket is. You can vote for the Libertarian, and I am the only person in the race now who has an individual liberty background. And my position on social values is completely different from the other candidates. And I think that that's a really important piece. You know, when you look at our conservative governor, Parnell, he's strictly conservative. He's a social conservative in every way you could possibly imagine. And then we have Walker coming in. And Walker was a Republican a month ago, and now he has undeclared himself as a Republican, and he's running with the Democrat. But for people who have liberal social values, there's no one left to vote for. There's an independent running from Haynes, J.R. Myers. He's very conservative also. But we share a lot of values in that, you know, I believe in the Constitution. I believe in following the U.S. Constitution and the Alaska Constitution, although there's some pieces in the Alaska Constitution that do not promote individual liberty. I believe in getting the budget under control. We have got to have a sustainable budget. We've been overspending by $7 million per day, they say. In Juneau. And I wanted to say down in Juneau, but that isn't true from here, is it? And overspending is horrible. And people are going, oh, you know, they're going to have to bring back the income tax. They're going to have to get rid of the permanent fund dividend. Well, I want to remind people that the income tax was in effect until the late 70s. And it was libertarians in the state legislature that got rid of the income tax. And it was libertarians in the state legislature that brought in the permanent fund. I want to remind people of that, and I think it will take a libertarian governor to bring us back to the sustainable budget that we need and the individual liberties that Alaskans admire. So do I think I'm going to win? I've already won because I'm in the race. We're having this conversation. And just by being in the race, the other governor candidates have to have this conversation too. So that's another way of winning. Back in 1982, Dick Randolph, the libertarian who was in the legislature, ran for governor. He got 15% of the vote. That stands as libertarian history. Never in the history of the United States has a libertarian gotten that big a vote count as Dick Randolph got in 1982. So I could make history in many, many ways. There was another poll that showed, right after the Unity ticket formed, there was another poll that showed that Parnell had 24% and Walker had 33% and Other had 31% of the vote. Now, we don't know who Other is, but there's only two other candidates, and that's myself and Myers. So there's a good possibility that we will make a difference in this race just by being in this race. So people need to listen to us.
You mentioned social values a few times. Can you be a little more specific about how you differ on social values from your opponents.
My opponents are all pro-life. I don't like to use the terms pro-life and pro-choice because people think pro-choice means you're for abortion. I don't think anybody in this whole world is for abortion. But I believe that a woman's privacy has got to be honored, that the government has no business telling a woman what she needs to do and what she cannot do with her own body. And that's true about men also. But in this case, it's even more telling, you know, because people are going, oh, well, it's a life, you know, you have to honor the life that's beginning. And that's why I say I'm not completely 100% pro-choice. I believe that when the baby is viable, then that is when you have to say, no, I have to carry this pregnancy through. But that is one way. I believe women need their privacy and they need their choice. And they should make those decisions. It's a very hard decision to make, and they should make it with their family, with their pastor, if they have a pastor. It's a family decision. It's not a decision that the government should be making for women. So that's one way we're all different. All my opponents are voting no on 2, which is the marijuana initiative. The libertarians, most of us have been very active in working with the Yes on 2 group. We realize it's not perfect liberty when you're talking about taxing and regulation. But when you think about young people having their careers ruined for using a recreational drug because they were arrested and now they have a conviction on their records, and they can never get a job, they can never advance, that shouldn't be. This is an herb that grows naturally, and it's less dangerous than alcohol. And I've heard people say, well, it's not really liberty. Well, you can make beer and wine in your own home and not have to pay the taxes on it. You can grow marijuana in your own home and not pay the taxes on it. And that's true right now. But you're limited to how many plants you can have. You're limited to where you get your marijuana. You cannot buy it. You cannot transport it. Even if you have a medical marijuana card, you cannot buy it, and you cannot transport it. And I realize that the federal government is still going to come and get you, but this is a step that Alaska needs to take. We know that about 50% of the population up here has used marijuana and may still be using marijuana. And I think it's a step we need to take.
How about marriage equality?
I definitely think that the marriage ban in the Alaska Constitution is unconstitutional, even by the Alaska Constitution. If you look at Article 1, we have a section that talks about inherent rights and how everybody is equal. We have a section that talks about religious freedom and how the government cannot infringe on your right to practice religion. Well, we all know that there are ministers, there are rabbis, there are people all over the country that are performing gay marriages, but they can't perform them in Alaska. So that's government interference in religion. So that's unconstitutional even by our own constitution. I don't even know how the initiative got on in 1998. So I'm hoping with the Supreme Court decisions, the Alaska Supreme Court decision that's coming around pretty imminently, that this will become a non-issue. I know of couples that have been partners for a while. I know of at least one couple that work for a national organization that says that they have to get married if they're going to have benefits, if the same-sex partner is going to have benefits like insurance benefits and you know, the kind of benefits you get with a job. And so they have to go to Washington State and get married. This state still will not recognize their marriage when they come back, but their employer will. So they have to do that. Now, that's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous that if you just step across the border into Alaska, you're unmarried because they don't recognize the marriages from other places. So, yes, I'm, and on top of that, I'm proudly paying for my own son's wedding in Hawaii in April. He and his partner are going to get married.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's just go ahead and hit the other two propositions. How about the minimum wage one? How do you?
Well, this is a little sticky one. Being a libertarian, we are against raising the minimum wage. We're against minimum wage, period, because a wage is a contract between the employee and the employer. It should be something that they decide together how that's going to be. It shouldn't be, again, it should not be government interference telling you what you have to pay. And I think that when you raise wages, you're going to, there will be unemployment. There has to be, because you know your small business owners can only, it's the bottom line. They have to be able to make a profit. So if you're working 40 hours a week, you may have to be cut down to 30 hours a week because they can't afford to pay the extra dollar per hour. And on top of that, the minimum wage in this bill is tied to the federal minimum wage. So if the federal minimum wage goes up, then our minimum wage has to be a dollar more because that's what it says. The unions are way in favor of this because every time the minimum wage goes up, then union contract wage goes up. So it's a big thing for the unions. It's not a good thing for young people that are just starting out and need jobs. And it's not a good thing for, I was just talking to some college students yesterday. It means college tuition will go up yet again. Because whenever you raise the wages, everything has to go up too. Okay. When it comes to Bristol Bay, I'm going to be a yes. This initiative for the Bristol Bay, the ballot measure for Bristol Bay, just says that the legislature will have final say. They would be able to approve future large-scale metallic sulfide mines in the Bristol Bay Fisheries Reserve. And I think this is essential that that final approval come through the legislature. I think that is the best way to do it at this point. Now, I know the EPA has done studies, and they've been fairly corrupt, is from what I understand. But, you know, I think that they do need to have final approval of that.
So you don't think that that's too much government oversight?
Not at this time, no. I don't think it is. It is a government oversight. But I think, here's my thing about the natural resources. We need to develop our natural resources. We have a very abundant, rich state. But they have to be done in an environmentally safe way. I think the EPA should butt out. I think that the state of Alaska can make those decisions about what an environmentally safe way is. But when I look at pictures of that tailings pond sitting there at the headwaters of the river, I'm thinking that has got to fail. It cannot work. And if there's a way to get those tailings and take them away from Alaska, fine. Then I think the mine could go ahead. But it's my understanding that they decided that it's really not going to be profitable anyway. It's probably not even going to happen. And then we look at what happened in Canada, which was just a few months ago, where they had the incredible mess that's going on over there.
It's very close to here.
And very close to here. And I've been talking to people that are involved in the fishing industry, and of course the problem is that we're known for our pristine waters. And when you think about these poisons coming into our waters, and our fish are no longer going to be prized, it's going to affect all the seafood industries. So, yeah, we cannot have that happen. We cannot have it happen in the Bristol Bay either.
And you mentioned resource development. That leads me directly to my next question, which was Alaska was built on resource development, but it has become more limited in recent years. Would you push to open that back up? And if so, how would you achieve that?
I don't know how the government can achieve it. It needs to be achieved through private industry. I think I'm going to kind of change the subject here a little bit, but that's been the big problem with the LNG, with the liquefied natural gas because we need a market for it. If we're going to, it's great. It's a great idea to get that out to the communities because we do need lower fuel costs and we do need better sources of energy. And natural gas burns clean. But we also need to have a market for that. We need to wait to get it out to market. And if it isn't considered profitable by the companies that are in the business, then it's not going to happen. The state of Alaska should not be in the business. So that's kind of changing the subject a little bit. I'm sorry.
Well, I think a perception at least has been that it's been government that has stymied or limited the ability of private business to extract resources or develop resources. Is there a way that for government to open that back up?
I think the federal government has been horrible about stymieing any kind of resource development in Alaska. Look at ANWR, for instance. It's theirs. They need to open it up. But it isn't happening. And I think as governor, I will certainly push to open up ANWR. We have so many resources, and the state has claim to all of it. And what we need to do is make it easier. We need to take those regulations away and make it easier for people. And the only regulation we really need to look at is the environmental stuff, nothing else. And I think our corporate tax structure needs to have, we need to look at that. We need to be able to help businesses get started. But mostly I think we need to open up the public property that belongs to the state and the feds and get it in use to make money for these companies that will hire people, that will bring more taxes to the state coffers. That's what we need to do. Do I have a specific plan? No.
And what are your thoughts on expanding Medicaid through the Affordable Care Act?
I would have to kind of agree with Parnell on this one. The problem with this is it was a two-year thing. Well, it wasn't a two-year thing before, but it is now. In 2016, it's all going to be over with. The deal was we're going to expand Medicaid and get it 100% paid for, and then in 2016, like magic, the state is going to take it over. Well, this is our biggest expense right now in the state. We have two large sections of the state. Education is one of the big expenses, and DHSS is the other big expense. We're not even paying our Medicaid providers right now. There's a problem with the accounting system that was purchased 4 years ago and still not working. So I really think that getting people entitled to Medicaid is a bad idea when you're just going to have to say in 2 years, we don't have it anymore. We don't even have the money. And where's this money going to come from in Alaska? It's matching funds right now. And this expansion was supposed to be 100% covered, but it will go to matching funds again in 2 years. So if we're going to have a sustainable budget, we cannot do that. If we're not going to have a state income tax, we cannot do that. It's all other people's money. How are we going to spend other people's money? And I think that this is it's not a good idea at this time. And, you know, and of course the time has gone already, you know, for over a year that we haven't had it.
Okay. And for those who are not familiar with the libertarian philosophy, can you kind of sum up what that is?
Our main philosophy is that people should be able to do whatever they need to do and be personally responsible for their own lives as long as it doesn't harm any other individuals. We don't believe in force. Taxes are force. The government is forcing you to pay money to for things that you may or may not want. But they're forcing you to pay taxes. So, you know, we're against that sort of thing. We're for minimum government and maximum freedom, which sums it up pretty well. My platform is all about individual liberty and economic freedom and sustainable budget.
Was there anything else you wanted to add?
I do feel that a vote for me is a vote to say that the two-party system is broken. I think a lot of people in the United States are really tired of the Democrats and Republicans. We can see it here in this state by the number of undeclared and nonpartisan voters, which far more of those than there are in any political party. And I think this is a very independent state. And I think that this is really where my presence on the ballot is important. So people do have a choice. And they can say, I am sick of the Democrats and Republicans running my life, running my state. And we are sick of big government. We are sick of federal government coming and telling Alaska what to do, tying up our lands, saying we can't explore our own resources. We are tired of that. And there's some other issues here in the Southeast about, you know, federal control of marine mammals, for instance, where which interferes with the fishing industry because, you know, there's some areas where the mammals are overgrown and interfering with the fishing.
You're talking about the sea otters.
I am talking about the sea otters. Mm-hmm. So, and that's federal overreach, if you want to call it that, which is a kind of a new term that we hear all the time. Oh, federal overreach here and federal overreach there. But mostly it's just that they're ignoring our problems. They could do more, but they don't do anything. So, you know, and then there's treaties in place that say that we can't do anything either. So that's a really, really bad situation. So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons I think that people would want to vote for me. And I am a former teacher, so I have some real, real wonderful ideas about education and how we can have better education system in Alaska that will be more cost effective than what we have now without laying off a zillion people.
Are you, that does bring to mind, are you familiar with the lawsuit that Ketchikan has filed against the state over education funding?
Actually, no, I'm not. I hadn't gotten to that
no,
in my studies.
Ketchikan Gateway Borough has sued the state over the education funding requirement for organized boroughs, stating the argument is that it's not fair to make boroughs pay the required local contribution and to not make the communities within unorganized boroughs to pay it. So, like a community up north that's not in an organized borough, they don't have to pay the required local contribution, but we do because we're an organized borough. So the claim is that that's not constitutional because it's not treating everybody the same. That's a really simplified version of the lawsuit, which is about this thick.
I was going to say, I bet there's a lot more to it.
Yes there
than
is.
That. Okay, yeah, and I lived in an unorganized borough, and you're right, we didn't have to pay anything in. But they kind of take care of that with the SBA formula with the state. They do recognize that people that are outside of, you know, they start with Anchorage being get the least amount of money, and then people outside of Anchorage get more money according to where they live per child because of the costs. And I think that's an important factor. I agree that it's not equitable. What's even more inequitable is the revenue sharing that's not happening. The Constitution says that that certain people are exempt from taxes, and certain organizations are exempt from taxes. Senior citizens get a tax credit. Well, part of their home price is exempt from taxes. And the understanding was that the state was going to reimburse some of that revenue that's lost by the taxes that are mandated in the Constitution and in Alaska statute. The senior citizen thing is Alaska statute. So if the state is going to say you can't charge taxes for this, then the state should be helping, right? But they've been paying less than half of the revenues that are lost that way in the revenue sharing programs that have been going on. And there was even a period of time for about 4 or 5 years where they actually paid zero to the municipalities and the boroughs. It's not fair. You're right. It's not fair. But I would have to look at it a little more closely and see. And is this a court case?
Yes. So, filed in Superior Court and awaiting a decision. They've made oral arguments.
So is it state court or federal court?
Yes, state.
So I think that we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that.
It is
pretty exciting, and it really isn't fair. I think the whole structure of the school system with the state is mandated to pay for the schools. And that's about the only thing that, you know, the cities and the boroughs have to pay for everything else. And the part that goes to the schools. So it isn't a fair structure at all.
Yeah,
so in Ketchikan, I was hearing today, so part of it's borough and part of it is municipality.
We have a borough and a city. Mm-hmm. And they are two separate governments.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been talk of trying to consolidate them, but it's never happened.
And why is that? I'm just curious.
That's a huge question.
And I'm looking.
They have gone through it. There have been 5 votes, I think, over the mm-hmm. years on consolidation charters, different versions, and they've all been voted down once it went to a public vote. So you'd have to ask the voters.